the headlines this hour. Chinese President Hu Jintao calls for dialogue with Iran over its nuclear program. Several people are killed in the latest U.S. drone attack on Pakistan's tribal areas. And heavy shelling between Somali government forces and local fighters kills at least 16 civilians. Hello everyone and welcome to the news here on Press TV. China has once again called for dialogue with Iran over its nuclear energy program. Chinese President Hu Jintao said various parties should continue to set up diplomatic efforts to resolve the dispute with Iran. Hu made the comments as he met with U.S. President Barack Obama on the sidelines of the nuclear security summit in Washington. However, the Chinese president said his country and the United States share the same overall goal on the Iranian nuclear program. The United States has been pushing for tougher sanctions against Iran, but has failed to build a consensus among members of the United Nations Security Council. Iran insists its nuclear program is peaceful and is aimed at producing electricity for its growing population. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has warned that energy sanctions on Iran could lead to a humanitarian catastrophe. Medvedev says any possible sanctions against Iran should not paralyze the country. He says previous sanctions have hardly ever worked. Medvedev is expected to arrive in Washington later on Monday for a two-day nuclear summit hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama. The U.S. and its allies want Iran to halt its uranium enrichment activities. But Tehran insists the activities are necessary to produce fuel for its civilian nuclear plants. Meanwhile, Iran's ambassador to the IAEA says the U.S. nuclear threat against the Islamic Republic is a clear violation of the UN Charter.
According to the IAEA General Conference Resolution 533 of 1990, which in fact Iran proposed and it was adopted, that was 20 years ago, and also the last year General Conference unanimous decision, any threat or attack against any country having nuclear installations is a violation of United Nations Charter, IAEA statute and international law, and the United Nations Security Council has to promptly act upon it. Therefore, we of course also reflect and work hard also in the context of IAEA for such a violation from international law.
Soltanya says Washington's newly unveiled nuclear posture review proves how unreliable U.S. is on issue of nukes. He says the new U.S. policy shows the nuclear-armed power pretends it's seeking a world free of WMDs, but it is in fact a big threat to international peace itself. The posture review restricts the use of atomic bombs against non-nuclear states except Iran and North Korea. The White House and its allies accused Tehran of refusing to abide by the NPT regulations. However, Iran is an NPT signatory and its nuclear activities are also under the supervision of the IAEA. Meanwhile, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister Mehdi Akhundzadeh says the new U.S. nuclear policy does not lead the world towards peace and stability.
It's a matter of concern for many governments, particularly the governments member of the non-aligned movement, because as I have said, the basic doctrine still remains in the United States administration, that not only they have to maintain their nuclear weapons as a deterrent, but also to modernize it. And that's what we think, that it's not going to serve the purpose of peace and stability. What has been proposed, or what has been unveiled, the nuclear posture, there is no change, no basic change in the basic element of this policy.
Well, the nuclear security summit has kicked off in the U.S. Capitol, Washington. 47 countries, as well as the heads of the EU and IAEA, are attending the summit to discuss what US officials call the new ultimate threat of nuclear terrorism. US President Barack Obama has begun the summit with a series of meetings with several world leaders. Ukraine has promised to give up all its stocks of highly enriched uranium by 2012. Well, a first-of-its-kind nuclear summit comes to the U.S. Capitol, but there are some countries absent from the meeting that many analysts believe are crucial to the discussion. Well, Press TV's Colin Campbell tells us why some believe the summit may not live up to its potential.
Parts of D.C. are on lockdown as the Global National Security Summit is underway.
It's kind of dead out here, it seems like.
Not a lot.
But it's very busy. Thank you.
The first-of-its-kind gathering of heads of state is designed to cut down on nuclear weapon development and decrease the majority of the world's stockpile of nuclear weapons. President Obama called for the meeting at a speech in Prague in 2009.
The nuclear summit is hosting 47 heads of state. It's the largest of such a gathering solely focused on nuclear nonproliferation. But there are some officials that are noticeably absent from Monday's discussions, and some analysts say that could be a mistake.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declined attending the summit over speculation that he would be questioned about Israeli nuclear reserves, a program that officials there have been secretive about. Iran and North Korea are also not in attendance. Analysts say this makes the summit less effective.
The only way that we're going to make these things work is if it is universal, if everybody is at the table. And to my mind, that's the way things get done. This exclusion and isolation and carrot and stick approach has not worked very well in the past. I don't think it'll work well in the future.
In Tibet! In Tibet!
Protesters calling for a free Tibet greeted Chinese President Hu Jintao outside of the summit. U.S. officials say they want cooperation from the Chinese president in dealing with Iran and North Korea's nuclear interests. Iran officials emphasize that they are a signatory of the Nuclear Posture Review, a member of the IAEA, and that its nuclear programs conform with international regulations.
So it's one thing to say what you're going to do, and it's something else what you actually wind up doing.
The pressure is on for world nations to decrease estimates of what could amass to more than 100,000 nuclear warheads. The next summit is slated for 2012. For Press TV, Colin Campbell, Washington.
Russia is urging all members of the nuclear club to join the nuclear disarmament process less than a week after Moscow and Washington signed a strategic arms reduction pact. A top Russian military official says further cuts will be possible if other countries do the same. Press TV's Svetlana Korkina reports.
All members of the nuclear club must reach a treaty that'll stop the arms race in the whole world, says a top Russian military official. It comes less than a week after Russia and the United States signed a nuclear arms pact in the Czech capital, Prague.
It's not right that two countries will cut their nuclear arsenals while other countries will arm themselves. This should be an equal process on all sides. We will work to involve all countries which possess nuclear weapons in the negotiation process.
The U.S. and Russia have more than 90% of the world's nuclear weapons. Under the New START treaty, they have to cut their arsenals by a third. The number of nuclear warheads will be reduced to 1,550 on each side over 7 years. The document limits the number of deployed delivery vehicles, ballistic missiles and heavy bombers to 700. Each bomber counts as one warhead, irrespective of the fact it might carry multiple bombs or missiles.
This figure of 1,550 doesn't reflect the real stockpile and the real number of warheads. The sites are most likely to have more than 2,000. The Americans probably 2,200 warheads.
Russia will closely watch the U.S. missile system development and may decide to pull out of the treaty if its security is threatened. Washington has offered Moscow to work on a missile system together. Russia says it's ready to cooperate, but only on equal terms.
We want to understand how it will work. if it means data transmission from the Gabala radar station to the American side, we consider it unilateral cooperation. We expect full-fledged participation and joint assessment of missiles threats.
The general says he will discuss these issues with his American colleagues later this month.
The treaty has been signed, but differences remain. The president's pledge to continue dialogue on missile defense. Dmitry Medvedev will visit the United States for talks with Barack Obama in the summer. Svetlana Korkina, Press TV, Moscow.
Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has urged the UN Secretary General to condemn NATO's support of the terrorist group Jundullah. In a letter to Ban Ki-moon, Ahmadinejad has called on the world body to defend Iranian nation against terrorism. Ahmadinejad also sent video footage of crimes conducted by Jundullah's ringleader, Abdulmalik Righi. Some disturbing images there. Well, this in addition to Righi's confessions on support he had received from some NATO members. From early 2005, Jundullah sought to expand terrorist operations in Iran's southeastern province of Sistan-Balochistan. Its terrorist actions claimed the lives of over 400 people. Another U.S. drone attack in Pakistan. The latest attack has killed at least 5 people and wounded several others. Security officials say the attack came in the tribal areas of North Waziristan near the Afghan border. Since last year, the U.S. has carried out many such attacks on Pakistan's tribal areas. Washington claims its airstrikes target militants. Most of the attacks, however, have killed civilians. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the attacks, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty. In Somalia, heavy shelling between government forces and local fighters has killed at least 16 civilians. Medics say several children are among the dead. The shelling began when fighters fired mortars at the presidential palace. Mortars came during a ceremony commemorating the 50th anniversary of Somalia's National Army. African Union peacekeepers and government troops responded with heavy artillery fire, striking several civilian neighborhoods. Somali government has confirmed the shelling but has declined to provide further details. In Sudan, the 3-day elections have been extended by 2 more days for technical reasons, as millions of people are casting their votes in the first open polls in over 2 decades. The authorities have made the decision to allow for voting to continue until Thursday, as the country is holding presidential, legislative and gubernatorial polls. Observers say many people have had problems finding the polling stations. Opposition has decried the irregularities in the electoral process, boycotting the polls on grounds of fraud. They say any extension will be a waste of money, urging Sudan to stop the voting. Well, our correspondent Roshan Mohamed Saleh says that most Sudanese think the extension was expected due to the nature of the elections.
So this 2-day extension isn't a major issue. It's just a reflection of the high turnout and the administrative and technical problems that have occurred. And it doesn't seem to be the result of vote rigging, or at least that's what most Sudanese think. But overall, I think the extension of these elections is more due to logistical and technical issues rather than anything to do with vote rigging.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. Chinese President Hu Jintao calls for dialogue with Iran over its nuclear program. Several people are killed in the latest U.S. drone attack on Pakistan's tribal areas. And heavy shelling between Somali government forces and local fighters kills at least 16 civilians.